and welcome back to the Thesis Talks by OIE at Copenhagen Business School. Today we're here with Julian and Vanier. They're going to talk to us about their thesis. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's an honor.
What a great introduction.
Yeah. Oh, you almost forgot his name.
Huh? Yeah.
Then you got the curve at the right.
Should have brought a name tag.
Yes. It is Vanier, right?
It's Vanier, yes.
Okay. Okay, so could you please tell us what your topic is?
So the exact title of our thesis is called Two Worlds Colliding, the organizational learning dynamics of innovation collaboration between startups and large firms. Our initial aim of this thesis was really to investigate innovation collaboration, right? So what makes collaborating in the field of innovation that much more fruitful, that much more rewarding for people or organizations in this case? And then why specifically would large firms consider a company as small as, you know, a startup in its rather early stage to be a viable equal part in the collaboration process? At the topic, we realized it's still a rather wide subject. So we started thinking about how we can continue narrowing down. This, by the way, has been one of the biggest challenges of our thesis process, was really to narrow down, drill in, and find that specific niche that we want to investigate. And so having done that, what we did discover was that it's becoming increasingly more about the knowledge. So rather than, you know, the specific product or process innovation, what we're moving towards is value innovation, right? And value innovation in a lot of cases, as we've discovered in our research, comes from absorbing external knowledge and then be able to assimilate, transform, and exploit that knowledge. So this is why we realized, let's look at what role does organizational learning have in all of this fuzzy, messy process that is innovation collaboration between these two very different sides of startups and large multinational established companies.
Hmm. So did you have a case or?
When we started looking for different cases, I was working at Accelerate at that time, so we could maybe have an entry point with different companies. What we ended up being able to work with was the Sound of Denmark, which is an ecosystem that is built in Stro, it's where Bang & Olufsen was founded in 1927, if I'm not wrong. And so there was a bit of an issue there, is that a lot of, throughout the years, if you see the stock price of Bang & Olufsen, it goes very much down from, the crisis in 2008, so that a lot of people left this era. And this Sound Hub ecosystem, which is surrounded by Bang & Olufsen and Harman, which is a company also now that has been bought by Samsung 2 years ago, they both are around, actually, really the neighbors of Sound Hub, the physical neighbors there. And before our thesis, even we thought it was going to be this, this ecosystem where everyone obviously collaborates, where everyone has something to do, something to say, where everyone embraces the fact that they're collaborating. And we ended up finding different things, actually. They were pretty much very interesting, I'd say. Maybe I can underline one thing with the two companies, is that we found out one company was maybe more structurally and more culturally fitting to work with startups, whereas another one was not. Sound Hub was more the platform that was there to create the connection between the startups and the corporate. This is also one of the theoretical frames we mainly used, is that something called proximities, that we divided in three main proximities, which was geographical proximity, technological, and organizational. From the geographical point of view, the proximity was created by Sound Hub.
But at the same time, so not only have we investigated these different constructs within our selected topic from the perspective of Sound Hub as itself, this being, again, in a way a facilitating entity for innovation collaboration between large firms and startups, But we also wanted to build an understanding about the divergence of opinions, of perspectives, particularly looking at differences between how startups and how large firms perceive innovation collaboration. So in order to investigate that, what we've done is we've had 8 or 9 interviews.
Yeah.
So we've talked to representatives of SoundHub, at the same time sharing the vision and the perspective and ambitions of large firms, specifically Bang & Olufsen and Harman. But then we've also interviewed, I believe it was 5 or 6 startups participating in the process, taking them through the same questions, but for us trying to map out the differences, and also talking to some of the accelerators, facilitators of learning in the process. But before we talk about results, I guess, I think it's important to establish that our thesis, having a rather broad scope and agenda, we wanted to create 3 pillars. So rather than, shining a bit more of light or creating a bit more of an understanding on one specific niche, we wanted to build a rather comprehensive understanding of this quite under-investigated and vague topic of innovation collaboration between startups and large firms, right? So what we did was, the 3 pillars were, number one, try to understand the motivations for participation in innovation collaboration, both from the perspective of a startup as well as a large firm. Number two, we wanted to understand the role of, as Julian previously already discussed, inter-organizational proximities. So what specifically do enhanced or decreased organizational, technological, and geographical proximities do in order to enhance the benefit of collaboration between these two sides. And then thirdly, we wanted to understand, again, back to the role of knowledge in innovation.
So what are the findings? You already mentioned one at the beginning.
I think in general, so again, if we go back very briefly to the 3 pillars of investigation, so in relation to motivation, what we've produced is we've largely validated the previously suggested motives that came through our investigation of the literature. Again, main ones being the importance of learning, both tacit knowledge as well as explicit, commercial or technical knowledge being shared. We found really importance of interexchange of complementarities, is what they call it. So this means the fact that the startups had the opportunity to gain access to expensive facilities they could not otherwise afford, or access to network connections, potential manufacturing contracts in China that a large company could provide for them, and so on. And in addition to those already validated, what we've also discovered is the importance of emergence of startup and startup collaboration. So rather than this just being a back and forth exchange between a large firm and a startup, we realize that as you put a lot of ingenious, brilliant startups together, they realize, hey, maybe you have a solution to the problem that we're facing, right? So that became a very important factor. And then lastly, also this idea that we call mutual branding. So what we realize is that for most of those startups, the fact that they have a name of Bang & Olufsen or Harman attached to their innovation collaboration means a great deal, because it means justification, it means additional credibility to what they're doing, and it helps them to build the product, to build a network around their product. But on the other hand, also large companies believe that, the fact that they might have potential success stories for the future will support that there's going to be a lot more applicants to this program in the future. So again, it works in both ways, the branding aspect. Mm-hmm. In terms of the proximities, we've confirmed the large importance of all of them through several testimonies of different interviewees. They all say, particularly spatial or geographical proximity, it's very important for sharing of more of those deep, not that underlying knowledge, such as tacit knowledge. Again, the technological and organizational also play a large role, specifically when you looked at how Bang & Olufsen collaborates with startup and how Harman does. This is something that Julian mentions as well, is that you really did see a difference between two organizations, regardless of that size, that had quite some organizational similarities in a way of organizational hierarchy and so on, and then the virtually the contrary of that, which was the case on with Bang & Olufsen. And then lastly, the third pillar of investigation, which was the knowledge part, right? And so how does the knowledge influence the governance? We realized that there was substantial problems when it came to validation of that theoretical framework. And so without going into too much details on why that's the case, if we really simplify it, we did realize that the framework oversimplifies the dynamic that we are able to observe in real life. So what I mean by that is the framework only assumes that there is only one specific knowledge, and so that is being shared in the process, and that knowledge goes one way, right? That there is always going to be a knowledge recipient and a knowledge giving firm, or a student and a teacher type of relationship. When in fact, in reality, what we did realize is that not only is do both types of organization assume both a role of a knowledge teacher and a knowledge observer or absorber at the same time, but there's also a knowledge heterogeneity in the process, where it's not only about tacit knowledge or about explicit, but both of them form viable parts of the innovation collaboration process. So again, we didn't, our findings couldn't be boiled down to a simple yes or no question, or, you know, one thing, but we did produce meaningful insights on all of those three fronts.
Because our thesis started with the point that innovation has a great impact on economical growth, whether it's from a company or even bigger of a country. So the idea was that in the end we saw that we would like to motivate whoever wants to actually do it. You know, is to focus on a governmental financial aid that is given to whatever. In Denmark, there's a great deal of different innovation funds that help different structures here to develop. If you would be able to follow, I don't know, €1 invested on the relation of a startup and a larger corporate to collaborate together, and see how this actually, or in fact, would impact the economical situation of both, even of the startup, of the company, and even after, of the economical situation of a region, a country, even just a city. That's really something that would be interesting, because I really believe that there is, I mean, it's also economical proven by, I know, Solo was one of the first, Schumpeter as well. Schumpeter before Solo, actually, when they explained that the impact it can have on economics, on the economical situation of a country, that's really the thing that I would love to see. How does €1 impact invested on the collaboration of two different people, how does this impact after in economic terms? But for this, Jesus Christ, you would have to.
But that's something for future research.
We were very qualitative in the end, but if you can quantify what was been done, it's going to take years as well. It's a long study.
Because the effect needs to triple down into so many other.
Thank you very much for coming.
Oh no, already.
Oh, you want to talk more?
You want to talk more?
No.
We really need 10 years for it, so.
Super. Thank
Great.
You very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
And congratulations on being done.